Father, I just want to thank you for this morning, O Father. Thank you for your manifestation. Thank you for the grace that you have upon the servant, that you would come in our vision, O Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the love you displayed to all mankind. Let everything that I speak this morning, O Father, come from your Holy Spirit, O Lord Jesus. Nothing shall come, O Lord, from my mind or from my flesh. I dedicate my mind, my lips and my tongue and my heart to you, Lord. Let everything I do, Lord, this morning be yours. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. How many of you can say it without looking and referring to the Bible? It's already now about fourth week or fifth week now. We've been reading about the same chapter. I'll continue with that again. Because the reason being, that is the mission statement of Jesus Christ, and we have to continue knowing Jesus' mission. We must know Jesus' mission. If we don't know Jesus' mission, then we're not with Christ. Okay? Let's see how many of you can shout it out from where you are. Luke chapter 4. Amen. Continue. It doesn't stop there. Continue. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Amen. So the Lord has got a mission statement. His mission has already been mentioned. As I said, I want to repeat it again and again. I do not know how many of you are hearing it or listening. Last week we talked about there's a difference between a person who hears and also a person who listens. A person who listens only will go into their spiritual mind, a spiritual man, it will go into their heart, it will go into their memory, and they are doers of what they read. So what they hear. So they are listeners and they are also hearers. We don't want to be hearers, but we want to be listeners. Amen. This morning, as we said, Jesus came for one to proclaim liberty to the captives. The captives, we are captives of certain things. We talked about the prison. I talked about the prison last time. The prison we are inside is somehow or other, although we are Christians, we still fall back to the prison. We still hold on to the things that we have. We don't let go. So one of the things that we're going to talk today is about fear. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about failure. Fear is something that has been man for many, many years. Many of us fear of so many things. Where does this fear come from? Where does this fear come from? God created man as equal. God created in his image. God is not a God who's fearing. God is not a God of failure. God is not a God of fear. He does not fear anything. He was not fearful of Satan. Hey, Lucifer, get out from here, he said. Threw him down. So God is the creator, why should we fear? If we are in the image of God, why should we have fear? There must be a reason where the fear came from. Let's go back again. The important is you must understand the source of all evil, source of all man's failure, source of everything comes from the Garden of Eden. Right? Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 to 10, you read, they were fearful and they hid themselves. Because last week he said, why they hit themselves is because they failed God. They failed God. The failure, the principle of failure, the spirit of failure was already inside them from the time. And generations after generations, it followed after that. There was a failure. So now today, why did they fail? They failed. Because they failed, there was fear that God, who is all-knowing, God who is all omnipresence, God who knows the thoughts of a man, God who created everything in his image, he feels man. And now they fear because God can do anything. If he can create something, he can also destroy something. There was a fear instilled in them. How many of you got fear? How many of you got fear? I want to tell you something. When I was young, I was fearful of darkness. Why was I fearful of darkness? The second thing I feared was snakes. Because I lived in a village. A village is in front of me was a place which is called paddyfield. Paddyfield, that's where my father will come back work. After work, he'll plow the field. And behind us was a forest. And behind the forest was a plantation of rubber trees where my mother used to go and tap. So in between these two sandwiches is a place where we were living beside the paddyfield. So you will find, have you seen serpents fly? How many of you have seen serpents fly? Have you seen a cobra fly? In my life I've seen. So I've seen the fly. From that is, he didn't go fly like that. He flew away from the thing. He jumped and ran, no? So I've seen that. So there was a fear in my life last time of cobras. It's a fear because there was a place there, in my place there, we don't have these proper toilets in our life. We have outdoors, outhouses. Outhouses, that's where the cobras will come and stay. So when you hear, shh, shh, when you're inside there, quickly run out. What is supposed to come out will go inside immediately. Telling you from the fact of truth of my childhood, okay? Fear, where was it instilled in my life? Fear was instilled when I was young itself. Fear of cobra is because of that. And the time when I came a big adult later, when I came into business world, the first car, second car I bought was an Austin Allegro, and I was flying with this Austin Allegro to Tulak Intan. Can you just imagine, in the middle of the road, there comes a king cobra, right, standing up there, and spit at you and run away. See, that is a dangerous kind of life you will see in this world. But somewhere or other, I do not know why I hated this snake. But above all, I hate darkness. Because there was no electricity at the time. There was nothing. It's jungle behind. In front is paddy field. At night is pitch dark. And there is no lamps, which is, electrical lamps. We had kerosene lamps. You know the kerosene lamps? Right? Small piece of this thing they'll have. They'll have kerosene lamp. They'll go and get all those, tins, the milk tins you have now today. And put a hole in the center, put some wick inside, there's already kerosene lamp. That's how kerosene lamp. Then later on came the gas light, you know. We have the butterfly gas light. Remember that you have to pump that until you stop breathing and bounce so that the breath can go inside the. I'm just giving you fear. There are fears people encounter in life. Fear started from the Garden of Eden. So you have a fear. There's nobody else who can come and tell me. I can stand here and tell you. There was a fear in me life. There was sometimes I came out of it. People have got fear of height. People have got fear of enclosure. People have got fear even of going into the lift. Because the first time they had experience of a lift jam. People have got fear of even going up escalator. Or going down escalator. That's fear. I've seen that people. They'll want to hold on to you so they can go into the escalator and hold on until they get out of the escalator. Because they fear. Something is moving below them. Right? There are fear people who are fear of going into aeroplane. There are fear people of going into certain things. There is all a fear of insecurity. Amen. Expose the evil one. That's a fear of insecurity. But fear comes from where? From the time of even, if you have got fear, don't feel, blame yourself and say, beat up yourself. I'm fearful. I don't want. Many of us, you know, when we go into the scouts, as you go inside, I'm fearful of the dark, but somehow or other, I will not show to my friends. I will try to be brave, but I will have two torchlights in front of me. Right? But I make sure my guy who's sitting beside me is coming with me. So that's how we have fear. We control fear. We control our fear. But that is not how we should live. Because the Word of God says otherwise. The Word of God says that fear is not from Him. Fear is not of God. Fear is not that God created for us. God did not create fear for us. Right? So He did not create. I want to just go and see this father of lies, the Satan, who actually devised a method how to talk to Eve, and some or other they had, after that they fall into the fear. Fear came from Genesis itself. Now there are types of people who have got fears. Fears, number one, what does it do to us? Fear ties us into knots. You get confused. Fear makes us, I'm fear of this, I'm fear of that, so on that. So more, you're tied into knots, you can't move in your life. Right? You can't move in your life. If you've got a fear of height, you've got a problem going and staying in apartments. Even first floor is a problem. As cities, you live in cities, as space becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, people want to have high-rise buildings. And you will not want to go. And it's so expensive to have a ground floor house. You go to Singapore, it's not easy. I pity those guys who got problem with heterophobia, the one height. Who's got height phobia and then phobia, and then they can stay. They don't want to look anything. They lock up everything. They don't want to look down. They just get into the seat and come down. Right? They have to wear the blips of the horse. They only see the side. They don't see anything else. There are a lot of people having that fear, you know, till today. Fear ties you down into knots. Joshua chapter 10 verse 3, and then after that later on chapter 16 verse 27, you'll find there are five kings at a time. And Ai was captured by, the city of Ai was captured by Joshua. Joshua was instructed by the Lord to go and conquer. And this guy went out to conquer, and he went down, he brought down many things, many cities, but Ai was the city which he was in. When he went into Ai, and this, the people around that area, they all were scared, the kings were scared. So immediately after that, this king from, King Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, he called few other kings together, four of them, you'll see that in chapter 10, verse 3. He brought all the other five kings together and went against Joshua. And when they went against Joshua, Joshua said, never mind, we'll go. And these kings were there, and he says, the Lord told him, you know, you'll find in chapter 16, verse 16, before verse 16, you'll find that the Lord says, you go forth, I'll give victory. He went forth. And what happened is that out of fear, these people who came out, the kings who came out with war, out of fear, they ran into a cave. They were complicated. They were so fearful, they ran into a cave. The cave name was called Makeda. M-A-K-K-E-D-H. Makeda. The cave in Makeda. They hid themselves in Makeda cave. And when they hid themselves in Makeda cave, what happened? They thought they took refuge. But Joshua was smarter. The Lord spoke to him, let's not worry about this man. Let's put a big stone behind them so that they cannot escape. They entered a cave out of fear. But after that, they were knotted inside the cave because there was a big, huge stone rolled over. And then after that, the Lord told Joshua, go and conquer other people and chase them out after that. After that, you come back. And after that, you see, and then the chapter, verse 16 on to 27, you'll find, when he came back, now what we'll do with this king? He says, take them out from the place. Roll out the guys, came out. And then now is the time he striked them. He chopped off their head, hanged their head. So, because of fear, their life became knotted up. One fear led to another fear led to another, and they were knotted up in the cave. In the cave, when I spoke about the cave, you remember, I said, it's darkness inside. It's darkness inside. And when you become familiar with the things that's happening inside. So these kings were already knotted up inside. Can you see one of the people who had problems? Fear. Knots them up. Fear makes us behave irrationally. Number two, fear makes us behave rationally. Why does fear makes us irrationally? Sometimes out of fear, we don't think properly. Can you just imagine I'm in the dark? Let's say, for example, I gave you one, don't laugh at me, okay? So assuming I went to the outhouse at night. First fear is of serpents, of cobra. Second fear is of darkness. It's already dark. Suddenly, if I'm sitting there and suddenly the serpent comes out, what happens? I will think irrationally, I'll run out. Right, man? And out of the thing, I would not even take the lights which is around me. Can you just imagine? The kerosene lamp or whatever it is I'm carrying, it will all go off anywhere. I have to run. So irrationally, I think, I don't think to take my things along. I might even would have run off naked. Who knows? Because, you know why? Out of fear, we think irrationally. One person who is in the gospel, you'll find in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, you'll find one man was very rational. This man is a great man. He brought down fire in Gilgal. He's Elijah. He knows he can bring fire. When he prays, the fire can come down. He prays, the rain came down. When he prayed, the rain didn't come down. And then when he prayed again, the rain came down. And he also the man who went and beheaded all the Baal priests. He had power. But this is because this woman, Jezebel, sent one letter saying that by this time tomorrow, I will have your head on my platter. He ran. What did he do? He didn't think of what God has done through his prayer. All he could have done is kneel down and say, Lord, I pray for this woman. I pray either change her or remove her from there. He could have done it. He prayed and prayed. So many people, so many things happened through his hands. He was irrational. He was not thinking right at the time. He was not thinking right. So he had to run, flee from the woman. The word of God says he has to run away from this place and then run off to a mountain. Why? Because of fear. Fear of the woman. And fear of this woman, Jezebel. He didn't think properly. Who was greater? God is greater or Jezebel is greater? God is greater. He could have said, my God who brought down when I prayed fire came down, he can also kill this woman. He can take care of this woman. He didn't think rationally. He had the power inside him, in his hands. He had the power in his lips, but he didn't use that. But his mind was irrational. He ran. Why? Because he has a memory that she has already killed many of the prophets of God. Chapter 17, you'll find in the verses itself. When Elijah appeared after so long and he came back and you'll find this man and his assistant was there and Ahab's assistant and he says then, Lord, don't run away from now this time. She's already murdered everybody. I've got 100 people outside there. I have 50 here, 50 there, so that I'm feeding them all the time in two different caves. You go back and read that, chapter 17 and 18. Then you'll understand what I'm saying. He had power, yet he did not use. Why? He thought irrationally. Third thing, a man in fear, what happens then? Fear can cause us to misrepresent God. Why do you misrepresent God? We always say God inflicted this fear. God put this fear in us. God is God of love. I will show you afterwards, right? The recourse of this fear, how we can come out of it. You misrepresent God. God's no wonders that God gives you at a time, you're blinded. You don't think that God can save you. Elijah's case, he didn't think God can do that. You misrepresent out of fear. He didn't think that God can save him at a time. He misrepresented by his action, saying that, no, oh, I'm running away from this woman. People would have thought, wow, this woman is greater than God. Can you just imagine a prophet, a huge man, we're able to bring down? Can you just imagine people like David? David was running away from, he knows the God, you know, he says, I come in the name of, Samuel 1, you'll go and see, I come in the name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. He says, you can come with whatever armors you have. I come in the name of my God, in the name of God of Israel. And he killed a man. And now after that, he was running away from Saul. Running away from Saul. He could have prayed, Lord, I pray that you will do something about this situation. No, he was running fear. He misrepresented God. God who gave him the power to kill Saul, to kill Goliath. He could also deal with the situation at the time. Amen? Praise God. If you think that, you know, God has been not good, he's misrepresenting God. The fourth thing that can happen to a man is when you have fear, breaks relationship. I wouldn't want to go to so many relationships we talk about. We would like to go back to one relationship which David had. In chapter 1 Samuel chapter 18 onwards, you'll find that you'll see that at that point of time, when Saul was seeking him to kill him, he already married. You know, in chapter 18, you'll find that to get Michal, the daughter of Saul, he had to get 100 Philistines foreskin. He has to get 100 of them. And you know, this little guy, rowdy guy, he went out there, really this is a challenge for me, I'll go and get it. Because he has no money to pay dowry. Because he was poor, and the king was rich. And the servant says, you go and get 100. And Saul thought, you know, by having this, can trap him and kill him. The Philistines will die and kill him. But he went there like a hero, God was with him. He killed 100 Philistines, brought the foreskins and gave it to Saul. And Saul said, now I have to honor my word. I will give my daughter Michal to you. So he became a wife that day. Go back and check chapter 18. And you'll find after that what happens is you'll see that Saul, later part of the gospel, two chapters away, you'll find that he was running away from Saul. When he ran away from Saul, he had all the authority to take his wife along and go. He did not. He rather leave the wife there and run away. Fear broke a relationship. Fear broke a relationship. Then you'll find 2 Samuel. Why do I say he only broke a relationship? 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 14 says, when his son, what is his name? He's very difficult. Iso. 2 Samuel, what is his name? Isoloy. I wish I was a Jew. I can pronounce all the names better. Chapter 3, you'll find his name. Ish-bosheth. Ish-bosheth. I think. Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth, okay? And he is the son of Saul, and he was the king, and he sent word to him, and so verse 14 says, you know, can I have my wife Michal back again? After Saul is dead. He didn't have the guards. It broke relationship. There was a relationship with the husband and wife. It broke it. Fear breaks relationship. There are a lot of fears that we have in today's in our life that we still have relationship problems. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of that. We have relationship problem. That is why God wants us to break all that. So we don't fear. Because of fear, we break relationship. Because of fear of this, because of that, that is something that we have in our mind that works up. And then they say, this person is like that. Or I don't want to have fellowship with the person. Or my husband like this. Or my wife like that. Or my children like that. We have a problem of fear because this will happen that we have break relationship. We don't want to be like that. Amen. Fear paralyzes us. Number 5. Fear paralyzes us. 2 Kings chapter 16. You'll find Elisha, when Syria, the king of Syria wanted to invade Israel, Judah, at that time, and he had a plan. And this plan was known to Elisha. And Elisha, the man of God, he says, the man of God knew the plans and told the king and the king of Judah. Then he said, okay, fair enough. I will send the people. I'll guard the people. And king of Syria became, said, how did he know? Who came to know these plans of ours? Who is on our side? Who is our traitor? And one of those people, seers, they have all the seers. They said, there's a man of God who showed this. Go and get him. So they came to look for Elisha. You'll find in the chapter later that Elisha's servant, early in the morning when he got up, he saw in the morning a huge army right in front of him, the Syrian army. And he was paralyzed, panicking. Lord, what shall we do? What shall we do? We see the army here, so many. And you know what? Elisha was very cool because he is not paralyzed. He could see the supernatural. He says he saw the armies of God standing around him. Amen? But the man who did not know, he was paralyzed. He was paralyzed. He was panicking. Can you just imagine suddenly somebody comes, you know, stands in your head. Oh, what happened? What happened? And everybody runs out, you know. We have this, problem with traffic offenses. And can you just imagine 3 or 4 policemen come to your house there and says, I'm looking for Sir James Dawes. Where is he now? He's not paid the summon now. He went hit the traffic light that day or whatever it is. They come and look for you. The next door neighbors all panic. No, something's happening to James Dawes. And James Dawes is like, what's happening? What's happening to me? Right? Same way we panic because fear panics us. Fear makes us paralyzed. We will not know what to do next. We will not know what to do next. Amen? So paralyzes. The Bible talks about fear. There are 2 types of fear. The fear of God is a positive fear. We have spoken about that. Right? Fear of God is positive. Fear of God builds man, does not destroy man. Hello? Can I repeat that? Fear of God builds man. The purpose of God today is to edify and build man, to build them, to go that they can be a better saint in their life, better person in their life. They can come back to the normal image of God that originally God has created. That is God. When you fear God, it's to build you, to make you positive, to make you successful in the things. But the negative fear which we are talking about today is the fear which brings you down, hampers you from growing in the life, hampers you from going away the things that you do. Just imagine you've got claustrophobia. Let's say, for example, there is a war and suddenly all of you have to go through the thing and this guy says, I cannot go. He stands there and suddenly gets shot. Can you just imagine? You've got claustrophobia. This is not supposed to be. Your enclosure, you know, everybody's going into a small cave, like a tunnel, like, and you don't want to go because you're fearful of that tunnel. Right? Let's say, assuming there was a serpent right in front of me at the time, or rather the cobra, and everybody's running. Because the cobra, everybody's jumping around going, I don't want to go. The fear stops us from growing. Fear stops us from life. Life abundance. Fear stops us, the negative fear stops us from life abundance. We have a lot of fear in our lives. Let us shake it off today. Let's break it today. Amen?
Let's break it today. God, when he talks, he says he will take care of everything else. When he says he takes going to take care of everything else, just like any other thing, depression or failure, he is also going to take care, because his obligation is any bondages will break. Many of us got fear. Right? Fear is something that is not of God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 to 26. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord shall be safe, shall be secure. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Sometimes I thought, you know, many of them were marching towards the palace. He's got no power. If they were, the day got together, Barsi and all together got, they shouted and said, "Hallelujah, Jesus, come down." I believe there was something coming down on that day. Man, we want to go and give, he can't do anything. If only all they gather together and they just praise God on the day, something would have happened. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, God's purpose is not to put man into a situation where he'll fear. He'll fear and go down. Every favor comes from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. What does the Father do? He'll come to save. He'll come to protect. He'll just imagine you are running through, crossing a road. There's a car coming in a speedy. The Father runs out and catches you because no, he wants to save you. He didn't think about his life. A father doesn't think about his life. The next reaction he does is to save. That's all. Because that's his beloved. So are we. Amen. So fear should not be in us, because we have that fear. As I was saying, that a vision I had, I immediately had a grasp of fear inside my heart when I saw the serpents, even in the vision. Can you just imagine? And Jesus says, in my name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. He's teaching me again and again, do not let go my name. Do not let go my name. My name is above all names. Right? So do not let go his name. So he came down to give that, so that we have now call him, because in him we have got, can call him Abba, Father. Amen. Praise God. God's answer to fear, the fear factor we have, not the fear factor you all have in the extreme sports. I remember watching that, after that I gave up that watch movies. Fear factor. Sometimes didn't sound sensible. Jesus, the fear which came from earth, came from man, was not from God. God expresses his fear, his love, is opposite of fear. God himself expressed his love to us, the opposite of fear. And we know that, we can grasp it, and we know that. And God can be there with us. Man was in the beginning itself sinned, and he was condemned, and there was a disconnection. Disconnection. A family was disconnected. Relationship was disconnected because of this sin. And fear came upon that. And man knew, and Adam knew at that time, the first Adam knew, that when God separates himself away from him because of sin, the fear came upon him. But the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ, who came, he came to reconnect that connection back again. The love that he has to show, something opposite of that fear. What is that he showed? He showed that he can give his son, his only son, has a purchase price, has a compensation for the sin done, so you don't have to have fear that you can call him Abba, Father. You have created the broken relationship now back again. One of the things that just now we talked about, it breaks, is breaks relationship. Now the relationship is now back again. Unless you don't buy this, unless you don't believe this, unless you don't trust this, then the fear will, in fact, will still be inside a heart or a mind. Follow me? The grip that which is holding us all the time, the fear, who is greater? The serpent? Or the Lord who is beside me. The Lord is greater. So if he says, in my name you can cast him out. In my name you can bring him down. In my name, the witchcraft can come down. In my name, everything can come down. Why do I fear? Amen? If we believe that the relationship has been restored and we have the power, we are adoption, you know, just now we talked about adoption. We are adopted into it. We are in the family already now. We have got now a letter signed by Jesus Christ and say, this James Doss is now mine by his blood and full stop. Who can contest that? No one can contest that except for your fear. Your fear contests that. So we have to go back and say, yes, what Jesus has done for us, the love that he showed us, the Father God has showed us the love, we have to connect it back again. Once we get this foundation right, the next thing all will be right. Okay? The foundation must be right. That fear was the one which chose man to hide. Now the fear makes us to come out from the hiding and say, I won't hide from this. I have to face it. I will face it. What is the fear I have? My God is with me. My Father is with me. I call him Abba, which is translated Father. It can be translated in Chinese. It can be translated in Tamil. It can translate in any languages. But the Abba word cannot change. Father can mean Appa, Bapa, whatever it means. But it to you, but he's the Father to you. Amen? That foundation must be done. First thing, you must understand what God did in reverse to bring back that fear. So man cannot hide now behind bush and say, I am scared of this. I am fearful of this. No. God has done that. His love is great. His revelation of his love is greater than any other revelation you can get. The revelation of fear is smaller, for the revelation of love is greater. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Can somebody read quietly, quickly? Colossians. And somebody else take John 3, 16. Can you put up who wants to read? Just put up your hands. I'll tell you which one to read. One of you take 2, 9. Colossians 2, 9, 10. Somebody takes John chapter 3, verse 16. Can the person who's got Colossians, can you read out quickly? Yeah, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9.
And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised. In the putting of circumcision done by the hands of men.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. 9 and 10. It says that we were a fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the body, bodily, we are in the body of Christ, in the body of Godhead, we are part of it. Because Jesus is part of the Godhead. And he is the head of every principalities. Okay? Every power will bow down before him. Right? So we have power problem. We've got problem of power darkness. He says, I am the light. I will even shine light at the darkness, and darkness shall flee. Right, praise God. Who has got John 3, verse 16? Okay, can you read, sister, quickly? Amen. God loves us. That is why he brought us back to him. He's out of that love that he has to show that the fear shall flee. Amen. 1 John 4, 16 to 18. Can somebody take 1 John 4, 16 to 18. 1 John. Amen. So if God has shown, expressed his love, demonstrated his love through the Son, Jesus Christ, and we are in him, and we don't have to fear anything else. Fear comes like a phobia. So fear is a kind of spirit that comes into us. Fear is the spirit that captured the serpent, released that, the father of lies released unto Adam, and that Adam received that fear, and from that day onwards, fear came unto man. where fear, man should not fear of darkness, man should not fear nighttime, man should not fear in the garden or in the forest, man should not fear any animals, because aren't animals supposed to subdue to him? Amen? Amen? Are you saying amen? So if you are scared of animal like me or the cobra, he's supposed to subdue under me, because I have the power, because God gave the power. Amen? Darkness, the Lord says, no, there shall be light and also day and night. God gave that. So in that night, I should shine. Because God said, you will also subdue the night. Amen? Every living thing, every creature that has been created is supposed to subdue to me. Because he says, all of them dominate. We are supposed to dominate. A dominant person who dominates will have power. Authority. But now Jesus, which we lost out of fear, today is restored back to us. So we shall not fear of height, because we can fly like an eagle, God says. Amen? The Spirit of God takes you and fly you like an eagle. Right? At night you cannot see, never mind. You will be like, you'll have an eye of an owl that you can see through at night. Amen. So what that worry about? God created something so you can see through. You are fear of all the animals. We don't fear. Because God is great. If you fear kind of image which is made by man, or some kind of statues made there, you don't have to fear the ugliness of that statue or whatever the face is. Because God is great. According to what I said, every creation should bow down before Jesus Christ. So if that is the case, he has given me authority to dominate this fear. Amen. Amen. Fear should not be. I told you about my story. I had a fear of a person in my life. I wouldn't want to mention the name. You all know the name. You know the person. And I after some time, God asked me to release that forgiveness. When I released the forgiveness, there was no more fear in me. There was a confrontation. Instead of going away, running away and hiding the bush, every time I see the person, I go and hide the person here, I go and hide there. Doesn't have to worry about it. I can pass by. It doesn't matter to me, because I have no fear. Because he who lives in me is greater than he of the world. Amen. Amen? So God expressed that love to us. God demonstrated that love to us. When God demonstrated love, we can do anything. We can walk on fire. We can walk on water. Because we can fly even in the air. Because God gave that authority to us. Amen? Praise God. Wonderful Spirit of God. So his love is greater than any other loves in this world. His love is deeper than any other the depth of the earth. His love is wider than any other things you can find in the world. The galaxy, even wider than the galaxy. Amen? Praise God. So, his love is expressed through Christ Jesus. So, we don't have to worry about that. So, he's reversed that spirit of fear in us. Number two, we must make spiritual disciplines in it's a guideline in our life. We must have a spiritual discipline in our life. Why? Why do we fear? Fear came as a spirit. I told you, fear came in as a spirit because he knows the Spirit of God will live. Man, at that time. Right? There was a fear. Adam knew. Adam knew exactly what it was supposed to be. It's not about Eve. Adam knew. He's because he's a father. The seed is from him. So now, God has reversed that. So now we have to go back to spirituality again to get back to that God of God. We must go back to God. When we have the holiness of God, when we have that presence of God, it says we don't fear anything else. We must know who is God, first of all. We don't have to go to a statue and look for it. We don't look at a tree as a God. We don't look at anything else as God. We only look at a God who we do not see, but he is existent. His name is Yah. His name is I am who I am. He's got so many names. How do you know the name? First of all, know the names. Read the word of God. Amen. How do you strengthen from fear? The word of God. My fear came out of me when the serpent and all those things came out of darkness, because I saw the word. He says, he created light. He created darkness, also night. God, when he creates night, he also puts a moonlight up there. He puts sort of stars, he said. He says, if God has created that for me, why should I fear light, darkness? And the Lord says to me that I am your light. I live in you. When I go outside, I should not fear because the light is inside me. Amen? If you are in the jungle and you are lost and everywhere, do not worry, because he'll be the guide. Amen. So where do you get all this word from? All this from here. All this confirmation on promises of God, what he's doing, you know, because of lack of knowledge, his people are perishing into the fear. Because of lack of knowledge, Hosea, because of lack of knowledge, people are perishing by these bondages, captivity, prison, which the evil one is holding us. Though we know Christ, we can't live a life which is good and abundant that he's promised because we don't know the word. We don't know the promise. The best is, I would suggest, brothers and sisters, read the word. Whatever gives you light in you, whatever strengthens you, write it down. Note it down. Whatever strengthens you, what strengthens you might not strengthen me. You know, you cannot go and say, oh, sister, don't worry, sister, you read this word, it's all right. You read it, nothing happening. Oh, yeah, this pastor, something wrong with him. You give me a word, nothing's happening to me. The word, which is the Logos word, has not become Rhema into her. Has not become Rhema. Rhema word is the spiritual. It goes into the spirit. It becomes merit. It becomes fertilized. Rhema is a word which is used for spiritual fertility. In other words, you are merit and you are now fertilized. It fertilizes inside you. It becomes some growth now. Just like a child grows in the womb of a mother. So shall the word grow in your spirit man. And the fear and the soul will be overtaken by the spirit man. And the soul will not fear any longer. Hello? Your fear of relationship going away. Read the word of God. And give the text. Whatever strikes you, whatever hits your heart, whatever hits your spirit man, write it down immediately. Don't delay. Don't say, tomorrow I remember this, tomorrow I'll do. Our memory is a capacity so little. I will tell you from my experience. I remember reading something this morning, I can't remember. Because sometimes we are occupied with so many things. When I read that, it was good. I liked it. I kept it. Right? Remember just now, I was trying to pronounce the word. It's so bad. Okay? I was trying. I was practicing it many times last night. Today, I can't even. My tongue is failing me. So our memories are too short, bear in mind, okay? So go and write it down, that where you can see. Write it down where you can see. If you can write it down in front somewhere inside you like this, write it down. Keep it wherever you wrote. Oh, this one which hit me. Let me look back again. Right? So words that you write here are words that you can write you, number one. Number two, prayer. Prayer is important because prayer connects you with the presence of God. And the other night, although I did not stay back much because my back was aching, I went back home. What happened was that, and I went back and I said, Lord, hi, you see, my church members are there. I am not there. What kind of shepherd I am? People are here and praying and I am going away to sleep. So, you know, the kind of feeling, Lord, why am I having this pain? No, I want to go back home and sleep, you know. But I went back home. I didn't sleep. I knelt down and started praying. Right? That took another 2 hours. So after that, you got up and prayed and you go to sleep. Then the Lord visited me. Right? I don't know what time they left from here, but I know one thing for sure. God is with us. Prayer connects us with God. Prayer connects that God. When you have that cable connected, electricity will flow. You can have a switch. If there is no cable from there to this light here, you cannot have light. You must have that wire from there to here. Electricity comes until there. From there to here, there must be a wire. So unless you switch on, that's prayer, your time, light will come up here. You'll be now lighted up. Every time you pray, remember this. Your inner, the light that Jesus says is inside you, will grow brighter. Which is dim now, very slow dim. You pray alone, you go light bigger, bigger, bigger. And when you come and pray as a corporate prayer, it becomes bigger. Because you know, other people's lights are also there. Yours become bigger. Yeah. Do you follow what I'm saying? Can you just imagine, it's all these are lights here. We switch off, we have one switch by one switch. Assuming one is named after Sister Honey, another one is Brother Wai Chong, Brother, Sister, all the names here, okay? My memory is too short also. All of you sitting in front of me, I can't even quickly get my names quickly. All right? So, can you just imagine, all of us have got lights here. Can you just imagine one light is dim? we put on one light, right? We switch on one more, it'll be brighter, brighter. That's how it is like when you come to church. You light up the church, not this lights here. When you light up the church, the fire gets bigger and you go back with a greater fire and with the enthusiasm. You say, Lord is with us. Whatever may come, for the next 7 days, I'm going to leave the world as if this is my best day of my life. Because the fire catches. You must come here. If you're coming here wounded, doesn't matter. You'll be bound. When you go out, the wound is not a problem. The light which shines is greater. Amen? So just imagine your name is written on every bulb. If you're not here, the bulb is not here. It's dim. I want you to remember this today. Every bulb is you. If you're not here, on Sundays, you make somebody else cannot see. Somebody's trying to read. Sister Anita trying, where is the light now? I can't find the light because today, you see, I'm old lady already. I'm trying to read. So, you are the cause for Sister Anita not reading that day. I'm not making you guilty, okay? Sister Anita, I'm not saying that you can't read, okay? Alright? So what I'm saying is, you are the light. So unless you come together the light, your light cannot grow bigger. You cannot see the brightness of God. Amen? Shalom? Praise God. Hallelujah. The word of God, the prayer is important. Whether it's praying here or prayer. You know, 2 days ago, the other night when I, Friday afternoon, I said, after coming from Choi Phokon building, after prayer, I said, Lord, I think I want to make an appointment time with you. I want to have a new discipline in my life. Appointment time. I said, 12 o'clock, I'll be there. Whatever it is, I'll take my off somewhere. If I'm counseling somebody or whatever it is, I'll take off and go off. Because you know why? I know a group of people in this world who are actually, at a certain time, they lock themselves up and they close up everything and go and pray. Do you know that? They do that 5 times a day. And our God is greater. Our God is the only God. And we don't allot time. Because the appointment becomes greater to me than the appointed time with God. Appointment with man becomes greater than appointed time with God. Many times in my life, I must tell you as a pastor, it eats up into my prayer time. So the cable becomes thinner and thinner and thinner. The light is not strong. So prayer is important. Prayer is important. Number 3, you must try to have a silence, reflection, and listening to the Spirit of God. Now I say not hearing the Spirit of God, but listening to the Spirit of God. We defined last week, hearing and listening is 2 different things. Listen to the Spirit of God. Those of you cannot hear, Lord, open here my eyes, spiritual eyes, and open my spiritual ears. At least I can hear you, Lord. Your word says, Lord, claim the word. Claim the word God has given us. Your word says that my sheep shall hear my word, my voice. Lord, I am your sheep, Lord. Count me in. I want to hear your voice. Not the pastor's voice every week. I want to hear your voice. So his voice is greater than any other voice. Sometimes you can say, no, the Lord spoke to me yesterday, and this is what he says. Pastor, I'm sorry, I differ from your statement. Oh, that's good, and I know you are hearing the word of God. Okay, amen, praise God. Accountability is important. Fear comes from not accountable. There's a time that I was in my lifetime, I told you, I was entrusted with some cash, and I used that cash for a while for some other things, but I could not pay back on this time. Right? So there was a fear now for me to handle money after that. Even as became a pastor here, I refused to sign checks or refused to have anything to do with money. Because I had an example one time and I know it can happen to me, so I don't want to have that. So the fear I've already overcome now. Because God who lives in me, at that time I did not know God. Now I know God. God who lives in me will give me the unction to function in His Spirit and I will be able to be accountable. Amen. All right? So immediately different, entirely different. Not like last time. So there's a paradigm shift in my life. Paradigm shift in my mind. Paradigm shift in my heart. Paradigm shift in my spiritual realm. What you did as a businessman before would not reoccur again. Because God is in you. and he's holy. He's accountable. And we are accountable to him. Every word he says, he's accountable to it. Every word he gave, he's accountable to it. He gave it to man. And every word he's accountable. He says, this is what I give. And my word shall not perish. Heaven and earth shall perish, but my word shall not perish. It will do its purpose and come back fruits. Amen? So it shall be the one. So man has got to move from one place to another. And move in the stem, in the not place that from not, like a nomad moving here, moving in the spiritual realm higher and higher and higher. So accountability and the, into the community is important. One thing that about when you're praying, it's good to fast. Fasting helps us deny our body. Helps us even one meal. Fasting can be even TV or computers. Nowadays, computers, when people sit down in front of computers, even I don't know how long it took. Suddenly, I see the time. Oh, 1 hour I'm sitting on this computer. Right? You don't realize your time. Sometimes your hands become cramped a little bit. Oh, why is it cramped? Huh? See the time? Oh, 2 hours. Lah. How many hours are these things eating you up? If you can fast on computers, fast on television, it's good. Because you deny yourself of the things, the luxury you have, and go on to God. So Lord, I decide today, I want to give up today TV, the soap opera which I've been listening to, the Chinese opera, I don't want today. Nowadays they are also having these Filipino operas now, which is coming to the Malaysia now. I know it was the Hindi operas came into Malaysia and it's all over the world everywhere. So everybody seems to be into, including operas, you know. So we don't want to have be into, involved in this. So Lord, I want to abstain this from here. If I can fast from my food, I can also fast from my sight. Alright? Praise God. So there is a fasting will help you to enhance into it. Worship is important. When you come and worship, even if the worship team is not worshiping well, it doesn't matter. You worship together. It's about you. It's about us. It's not about the worship team. If you worship in your heart and you worship through your heart and you spring out from your heart from where you are, God will touch you. Amen? The worship team only gives you the platform to rise up. They have to give you the platform to rise up. And then you must not sit there and wait on the platform. Ah, yeah, I'm waiting. You can wait and wait and wait. It won't happen if your heart is not in it. You will rise up. Amen? The worship team is a platform for you to raise you up. To give you that channel. And you have to rise up by worshiping. Amen? Tongues and others, that speaking in tongues is important. Whenever you have problem, fear, speak in tongues. The fear can go away because you're speaking heavenly languages. If we have these things, which I spoke about just now, all this together, netted together, weaved together in our life will be a good mat for God to sit on. Hello? He can establish a throne room on this mat because this is a weaved, very well weaved prayer, studying the Word of God, silence and reflection of God, in listening to the Spirit of God, accountability, fasting, worship, tongues, this becomes weaved into our life. It can become a nice mat for God to stand and sit down. It's a throne room for us. Amen? Praise God. We have to weave it in our life. The third thing, the first thing we talked about, know Christ, who Christ, what did he, God reversed that. Spirit of fear to spirit of love. Second thing, make spiritual disciplines in your life. Third one is, begin to challenge your thinking. Thinking is important. Our thought process, I can give you some verses all. I don't want to now because it will take more time. Every thought process, you can go back and find it. Come back and tell me next week, please. Lord, Pastor, you spoke about this. Number three, thought process, it's already in the Bible. It's in the Psalms, and also in the letters written by Paul. Renewing of your mind. How many times a day? Every day, he says. Every day. Alright? Renewing your mind daily. Alright? It's a process. The other one is in Proverbs. You can find that also. Okay? Go and find out and know. So your thinking mind must be thought changed. A thinking has to be changed. A thinking, why thinking is important? Because you know why? Your thought of every time of the darkness of the fear you had before can pull you down further. If I still think about what happened in my lifetime, earlier times, my early young age time, and I believe I'll be, you know, when 9 years old, 6 years old, I will be still cramped into it. I have to think differently now. My thinking thoughts, whenever it comes up, it has got to be crushed. So I have to change the thinking thought with the word of God, with the things which will come and intimidate me. The thoughts are bullying for us. It's an intimidator. Our thoughts itself can be an intimidator. Can intimidate you. To intimidate, oh, yeah, you cannot do it. La. You know, remember or not? You went up this height only, you're already shivering. You think you can go up 10th floor now? Third floor also you're shivering. Not 10th floor cannot. So your thought, remove that. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen. I know this church is very good. They remember the word of God. Praise God. The fourth one we do, take a stand. Take a stand. To ignore the feelings of fear. You must take a stand. I take a stand today. I know I can handle it. I know it's not darkness. I can still go. I don't have this feeling of fear anymore. I'm taking a stand today. Say it to yourself. Because the word of God says, when I stand with Christ, I can overcome everything else. Stand in the rock. Which rock? When you build yourself on the rock, your house, your temple in the rock, not the building, your temple is built on the rock, Christ Jesus, everything else shall be strong. Your winds can come, waves can come, fear can come, whatever things can come, it will still stand strong because you are building on Christ. Every bondage will flee because you are already starting to say, yes, I've got Christ in me. I have no worry because the feelings of myself that I am fearful is out from me. I want to ignore it today. I'm not fearful. Amen? Praise God. Sometimes, when fear comes to you like a flood, could be because of reasons of personal experience, because of personal people who hurt you, or personal things that happen in your life, run to one person, Christ Jesus, the fortress of peace. Amen? Fortress of peace. For peace I give you. What did he say? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. It not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Afraid is fear. Amen. So go back today and remember, memorize verse 14, chapter 14, verse 27. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Who else can you go to, run to, who has overcome the world? You cannot run to James because he has not overcome the world, but Christ has overcome the world for James. You cannot run to another person there, John Ming. John Ming, you are worshipping, okay, good, I want to run to you. No. Jesus is the only one who overcame the world. Amen? Amen? So we run to the fortress. Unless we run to the fortress, we can't get what we want in our life because He is the one who overcame everything else for us. Let's look at Psalm 91. Can some of you turn to Psalm 91? Psalm 91. I want you to read the Psalm 91 full. Read it loud. Somebody who's got a loud voice, read it loud. Brother O'Neill. Amen. Let's look at the verse which says that you shall not fear. You shall not fear what? Terror. You shall not fear.
Terror of night? Nor of the pestilence? Nor of? The time when I came to know the Lord, I still had some fear. Of course, in my world, I did not have much fear of the darkness. But this word strengthened me of darkness. But right, if you look at this in the Hebrew language, every spirit is speaking about is. Everything that is speaking about night, arrow that flies by day, pestilence that walks in darkness, and of the destruction of that lays waste at noonday, are all names of spirit that gives you fear. And God says today, you will not fear. And your Lord says what? You will never fear. You will not fear. Because He is with you. Why? He says that you will go under Him. You will take the shelter under His wings. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. What I said just now, the Word of God is His truth. And Jesus is the Word of God. He shall be our shield and our buckler. Hold our guts. Hold us. He's the one who'll do it. And the Word of God says it very clearly. Even because you're faithful to Him, no pestilence shall come near to your door. No sickness shall come to your door. For He'll give His angels charge over you. They will what? Lift you up with their hands. Why? So that not even a stone, a pebble, will dash onto your feet. Man. Amen. See how beautiful that He gave revelation to even at that time. Even before Christ coming, He has already given the revelation in Psalms to David. He is a God who is strong. No wonder David says, I come in the name of the God of Israel. I come in the name of the God of Israel. He's strong. He's the rock. And He will never shake you. He'll keep you. Amen? Wonderful. And chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, 28, 29, what does it say? Can somebody read? You know this verse very well.
And we know that all things work together for good.
Amen.
To them that love God, to them who are called according to His
purpose. Amen. So God has called you. God has called us today. Fear shall not be part of us because He has worked everything in purpose for us so that we come to know Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus we have overcome fear. Fear which He has overcome. He has overcome fear. Fear of crucifixion, fear of condemnation. Everything else He has overcome. And today, we live in Him. And we have overcome fear. Every bondages. So He was right that He has come here to break every bondages of man. So that we will not be any more captives or prisoners of these fear. Amen? Praise God. Wonderful. It looks like I can't cover two subjects one time. You have to go one by one. I thought of covering two today. Freedom from worry too, but I can't do it today. We have to postpone to next week. Alright? Then we'll talk about anger. It's important that you hear of anger. Everybody gets into a rage of anger sometimes. Let's pray that the Lord will help us today to overcome fear. How many of you have got fear today? How many of you? Be honest to yourself. See, as we said just the other day, whatever fear you have, fear of the future, fear of things that, uncertain things in life, fear of so many things, fear that my office staff will have, stab me from the back tomorrow, fear that I don't want to go to office tomorrow because I have to face a board meeting or a meeting something. All these are fears. Fear that you have not, no job, fear that you have to, you know, this job, if I stay there too long, I'll rot. All these are fears. We'll ask God. Fear of cockroaches. Fear of lizard. Fear of ants. God says, I've given you to dominate them. Let's exercise that. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just want to thank You today.
that, Lord, you have overcome everything. For your mission statement states very clearly that you want to break loose of all those who are in bondage. And you have done it, Lord Jesus. We deny and refuse to hear the father of lies today, that we still have fear. We refuse today to hear that we still have fear today. Because in you, there is no fear, Lord Jesus. Your word says very clearly today that in you, we have no fear. In you, we can walk to the ends of the earth, and yet, Lord, you will be with us. Your word says, Lord, you can walk with us. We'll go to different types of our lives and different types of ages, different countries, different offices, different people we'll meet, but we will not fear because you are a God who keeps us. We will not fear of darkness because, Lord, you said, Lord, you've overcome it for us. There's no darkness. We shall not fear, Lord, of night. We shall not fear of the things on the noontime. We shall not fear of the arrows that comes against us in our life. For we know, Lord, all things works for the perfect thing, the good things that you have put together for us. So that, Lord, we'll grow every day. Every arrow that comes against us, Lord, you'll shut it down, for you are the shield. You'll hold us, Lord. Our guts, you'll hold us. You'll hold us in the spirit, for you are our belt. Lord, we want to thank you today. That, Lord, you are the rock we will always stand on. For your temple is built on your rock. And your word is true. We claim today, we bind every spirit of fear which is brought in from the spirit of lies. In the name of Jesus, that we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fear shall leave us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.